The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manning.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins. Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And this week is no exception. Today we're going to talk about some near-death experiences, we're going to talk about psychic mediumship, and we're also going to talk about connecting with people who have passed over. It's a metaphysical, spiritual show, and our special guest is new to the show. Michelle Clare is a psychic medium. Michelle survived three real near-death experiences within an 11-year span, and these experiences really pivoted Michelle's life. And she's going to share what happened to her and how she got onto the path she's on now. A fascinating story. And then Michelle's going to do a little mini reading of me on the show, kind of as a taste to give you an example of how Michelle works. And I think you'll see that, wow, fantastic. So I think you're really going to enjoy our conversation. We like to get out there. Again, this is a metaphysical show today, episode, and I'm going to bring some new information, and people are usually, I find, are interested in the psychic mediums and what they have to say, and you know, there's so many of them out there, so you have to really do your due diligence to say, hey, I can vibe with this one or that one, or maybe not this one, and I do a lot of qualification before I bring people on the show, so I try to bring the very best here to Guys Guys Radio for you, and we don't just do metaphysical stuff here on the show. As you know, we cover sports and celebrity and wellness and diet and fitness and New York Times best-selling authors and all kinds of stuff to help you live your best life. And I think you're really going to enjoy our conversation today with Michelle, because Michelle's just her past life, her near-death experiences are so profound. Imagine having one. Okay, now imagine having three in an 11-year span. So it seems like the universal consciousness was really giving her more than a tap on the shoulder to say, you need to be doing something else in your life, and we're going to show you the way. So, Guys, Guys Radio, we take on topics that maybe aren't something that we talk about every day, but it's worth understanding and knowing about and getting some more information on. And then we can determine if this is something that we want to pursue, something we're interested in. Maybe you want to get a reading someplace. It's up to you. I bring you the information, I screen the guests and determine, is this somebody who brings something to the table, can have a provocative conversation here on Guys Guys Radio? When I say provocative, I mean interesting and thought-provoking. I don't mean conflict. There's enough shows you can watch or listen to that have people arguing back and forth. And our country in America is so polarized, you're either this or that. It doesn't seem like there's a lot of middle ground. And what we do on Guys Guys Radio, we bring information, we have discussions and conversations. And I think we need more and more of that and less locked into, like, I'm in this opinion or that opinion and all based on politics, because it's really, I think people have had it up to here with that. They're sick of it. And so I think what we've been doing, what we're going to keep doing, is really in line with what people want, and that is information without a lot of bias, without politics getting involved in everything, and just bringing new information that people can talk about and learn about and maybe apply to how they live to live their best life. So Guys Guys Radio, we're here for you each and every week. I think we're going to have a really interesting show. I'm going to get a reading on the air so you can see what happens in a psychic medium's reading. Who knows who will show up for me? It'll be fun. And you'll get a taste as to my special guest, Michelle Clare, and how Michelle works. So, Guys, Guys Radio, let's get to it.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Thank you.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, Guys Guys Radio, it is the interview portion of our show, welcoming our YouTube and Rumble viewers to the show. And today we're going to talk about near-death experiences, we're going to talk about mediumship, and we're going to talk about a lot more. Our special guest, a new guest to the show, her name is Michelle Claire. And let me tell you a little bit about her. There's a lot of great information. She connects to spirit and provides people with profound, detailed life insights. As a certified medium, psychic, energy healer, life coach, and frequent speaker and show guest, she helps her clients overcome obstacles. It's her passion to lovingly empower, direct, and validate each person. It's Michelle's intention that each person she reads will find inspiration, comfort, and understand that we are not living this life alone. As a certified medium, Michelle has been validated as a high caliber medium capable of furnishing specific, accurate, and pertinent information to the person being read. And she also works as a research medium, once again, for the Institute of Noetic Sciences. So she had some near-death experiences that got her into the space she's in right now, three of them, actually. So why don't we first introduce to Guys Guys Radio my lovely guest, Michelle Claire. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Robert. Thank you so much for having me here.
And I love the angels you have on either side of you.
Thank you. We all have angels around us. I like these for the visual reminder.
Well, let me start with an angel question. What is the difference between your guardian angel and your keeper of the threshold? Or is there one?
Yeah. So for me, I see angels really as protectors and loving support. Keepers of the threshold, as you put it, would to me be more of a life guide or a spirit guide.
Okay, great. So let's start with you. What was going on in your life? And you had three near-death experiences. And how did each one occur? And how did each one set you further on your path to the work you're doing now?
Right, absolutely. So the first one occurred in April of 2000. And at that point, I had been married a few years, no children or anything. But I was at the hospital that day because my sister-in-law was giving birth. So I was already there. I was talking to her RN, who happened to be my friend from high school. And we were in the hallway. And as I was talking to her, I had a massive seizure. And during this seizure, I have no memory of that. But what I do remember is all of a sudden, I am in this beautiful realm where there is no time. It is blissful. There's unconditional love. And as I'm opening my eyes and feeling this, I notice that I'm laying with my head in my grandma's lap. And my grandma had passed away a couple years prior to this. And then I start to notice I'm in this beautiful white room where the walls almost appear to be alive and every cell or molecule within them is radiating this light and love. And I am just in awe of this gorgeous, amazing space. And as I look up at my grandma, I notice that she looks like the youngest, healthiest version of her that I can remember. And as I'm looking at her, I notice that next to her is this angel. And this angel appears to be about 12 feet tall. And I immediately am really drawn into her presence. And I think, oh, I'm going to go look for, I want to see her feather wings because I was raised Catholic and we all know angels have feather wings. But as I moved my eyes to look at her wings, what I realized were they were made of light and it was beautiful, iridescent and translucent. It was a little bit like the Aurora Borealis where they were moving in that way. And as I laid there just in this beautiful space, I remember thinking in my head to her, what is your name? And she said, my name's Madeline. I'm one of your guardian angels. And I was quite surprised because at that point in my life, I knew nothing about telepathic communication. So I didn't know that she was able to read, you know, my thoughts or my mind. And as I was just laying in this space, I was completely soaking it up. There was nothing I was worried about. I had literally never felt more loved in my life. It was just like every molecule there, everything is radiating this love. So the next thing I know, I hear someone yelling, code, code. And I had quit breathing during this seizure and I was already in the hospital. So they were calling the code team and I was shoved back in my body. And when I came back in my body, it felt extremely dense and heavy. I remember my arm felt like it weighed 500 pounds. And it was just almost like dropping out of a 10-story building, thump, back in. And it was it was really a little bit shocking, actually, to go from such a beautiful, loving, light space where you feel like you weigh about as much as a feather to feeling like you weigh 5,000 pounds.
Now, what caused the seizure?
They never figured it out. And I've never had one before, and I've never had one since.
Okay. So after that, how long was it until you had your second near-death experience? And what were your thoughts and what were your feelings after having this incredible experience?
Right. So I did not know the term near-death experience. I knew I had an experience, but I had no idea that's what it would be called. It took me about 2 weeks to be able to share it with anyone. It was more real and more profound than my daily life. I will tell you that without a doubt. But I didn't know how to share this. And I also, a lot of people who've had near-death experiences will say, we have a hard time finding the language to describe what we're really connecting with. And so it took me a few weeks. I shared it with my mom. My mom was, you know, interested in it and just trying to understand what it was, but she also didn't know anything about near-death experience. So basically, after this first one, I go back to my regular life, and I know I've had this amazing experience. There's nothing for me to do with it.
Okay, so how long did it take when the second one? What happened with the second near-death experience? And was it different? I mean, were you familiar? I was like, oh, I'm here again, and maybe I want to stay this time. Or what happened?
Yeah, so the second one happens in May of 2006, so about 6 years later.
Okay.
At that point in time, I have three children. I have a five-year-old, a 2.5, and my son was only 6 weeks old. After I had him in April, I had a lot of complications, and then I was in the hospital about 4 out of the 6 following weeks. So the doctor said, we need to do a DNC, which is a procedure where they clear out the uterus, outpatient, 45 minutes. It was going to be the game changer. I was going to be able to go home. So the night before, I had this pit in my stomach, and I absolutely knew I should not go through with this, but they really gave me this quick, easy out that sounded great. Mm-hmm. So the next morning, I went in, talked to the anesthesiologist and the doctor. They assured me it would be fine. I had had anesthesia before, and whenever I've had it, it's just a blank space. There's not a dream. There's not a memory. There's nothing.
Right.
So I go in. I remember counting backwards for the anesthesiologist, and the next thing I know, I am on the gurney in the operating room, and my 102-pound white German Shepherd, who had passed a couple years prior to this, walks into the operating room, lays her head on the gurney, looks at me. This is how she always was in life too, kind of like, check me, make sure I'm doing okay.
She's like, what are you doing here? Right?
Yeah. And we are gone. And we are on this phenomenal beach, which has colors that we do not have here on earth, emotions, sounds, smells, and everything on this beach, every drop of water in the ocean, every flower, everything is radiating once again, this unconditional light and love. And I'm in this timeless space with her. I'm looking at her. She's looks like she's about 2 years old, young, healthy, vibrant. We are telepathically communicating. She's happy that I'm there. I'm thrilled to be there. And we are running on this beach. And so after a while, what I notice is there was only the present moment. It was each step and each breath. And in that, I also realized we weren't getting hot or tired or thirsty, and the sand we were running on felt like clouds. And so one of the funny things about this near-death experience is that, like, human Michelle actually hates to run. And I tell my friends, if you see me running, call 911. But here I am in this heavenly realm running on the beach with my dog and enjoying every moment of it. As I'm on the beach with her, I can feel my son, who was 6 weeks old and at home with my mom, energetically calling to me, and I go to him. He's very scared because I'm getting ready to leave. And I remember saying to him, I will find a way to stay. And the next thing I knew, I was praying because I didn't know what else to do. So I start praying and I start saying, it's not my time. I need help. My kids still need me. And at that moment, I'm transported back into the operating room. Jesus comes in, and Jesus comes in very much feeling like my best friend. Hey, I'm here to help you. What do you need? And the next thing I know, the operating room lights up with this beautiful white goldenish light. And then I'm waking up in post-op. So my 45-minute procedure turned into a 3.5-hour emergency surgery because the doctor had ruptured my uterus in two places and missed my artery by a millimeter, literally 1 millimeter. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're back, and wow, what a story. My special guest, Michelle Clare, psychic medium and near-death experiencer three times over. We're talking about the second experience right now. So, okay, how did you feel after the second one? It's like, wow, is that it? I mean, is this something, is there a message for me that I need to know? Is something there for me? Is this something I signed up for? How did you feel, Michelle?
Yeah. So afterwards, once again, I knew I had an experience. I didn't know it was a near-death experience. It was extremely vivid. I felt so much gratitude that I was able to come back and raise my kids because I knew it was close, even though I didn't know all of the details yet. And so in that moment, I come back, it takes me 4 months to get back to functioning at 80% level because my body had just been through the ringer at this point. When they ruptured the uterus, the infection went into my body. I was in the hospital longer. So I come back and I really just go into survival mode. I'm a mom trying to heal with three young kids.
And what were you doing, quote unquote, professionally? Were you a mom, or were you working and...
I was a stay-at-home mom.
Okay, great. So now what happens leading up to the third experience and what happens there?
Okay, so in the third experience, for people who like numbers, that one happened on 11-1-11. So there's a lot of ones there. November 1st, 2011.
5 years. 5 years later.
5 years later. And I am climbing up a ladder. So in my house, my kids at this point are 5, 8, and 10, and I have 14-foot ceilings in my house. So about 12 feet off the ground, I have battery operated candles, and I was climbing up this ladder to change the batteries in them. And I said to my younger two who were home, as soon as I get done here, we're going to go get your sister from school. So I climb up this ladder, I get towards the top, and I feel it start to shift. And I immediately thought, this is going to hurt. I knew it was going over. And in that moment, I am ripped out of my body, not in a painful way, but in a very fast way. I am turned around. I am facing my body in the ladder suspended in the air like a freeze frame in a movie. And I'm standing with these three people that I had never met, but they feel like family, friends. They feel like they know me very well. There's an Asian man, an Egyptian woman, and a Hawaiian man. And they said to me, they said, what would you like to do? Would you like to stay or would you like to go? And I was trying to process how I had forever to decide what I would like to do when I knew my body was going to hit the floor in less than a second. But there was no rush. Once again, I'm in this timeless space with this unconditional love. So as I'm standing there, I see another angel come in, and this angel is dressed in red and gold. And as this angel comes in, I know immediately this angel is here to either take me home to that heavenly realm or to shift something so that I could stay. And I see my two kids. And when I see my kids, I say, I need to stay. And so in that moment, I am downloaded with a bunch of information. It's okay, but now you've got to go back and you've got to do your mediumship and you've got to help people in the way that you can help them. Your marriage will probably end in divorce. You have more trauma that will come up in your life. So yes, you can go back, but here's the deal. And it was very clear that I felt like I made an agreement with God, source, the divine. I will go back and I will remember why I'm here. And so I ended up falling. I hit the back of my head on the corner of my granite island. I had a 5.5-inch skull fracture, a brain bleed, lost my taste, my smell, my equilibrium. So I had a lot of physical trauma.
So you had to do to come back to what is a tougher place to be, which is 3D on Earth here. You had to not only come back to that, you had to suffer more of the physical trauma that you went through. So that is incredible. And then from when you got back and you're rehabilitating, et cetera, when did you realize like, okay, I have these gifts now, here's what I can do. And how did you start that process?
Right. So actually that's a beautiful story. So what happened was it took me a long time to start feeling better. I was probably in the hospital at least 10 days, I think around 10 days, but when I get home, my younger son, who was 5 years old, was feeling very depressed because he had tried to call 911 and his call had not gone through. And my 8-year-old daughter's call had gone through. So the end of January 2012, he would start telling me, my mother-in-law, my mom, hey, I didn't do anything to help you. I didn't need to be there. And we would say, but Josh, you opened the door for the policeman. You did help. And so the end of January, my grandfather, who passed away when I was 12, comes in for my huge mediumship visit, the first one after this head injury, and says to me, he's talking about my accident. He talks to me about my son, who they never walked this earth at the same time. And then he says to me, your son's really good with electronics. You need to get the 911 recording. There's something on there that you should know. And I didn't even know I could get that. So I ordered it. It took a couple weeks to come in. And when I put it into play in the computer, I hear them say, 911, what's your emergency? And I hear my son, Josh, in his little broken voice say, Sophie, what do I say? And then he lays the phone down. So he had called about a minute and a half. They're trying to get his attention or Sophie's attention. But I believe the phone was just laying on the ground at this point in time. You can hear him in the background say, I'm going to push the panic alarm, you know, on the house alarm. And my daughter says, hold on, let me try calling 911. And then her call goes through and they dispatch her to the fire department. So when he came home from school that day, I said, Josh, your call went through. Help was coming. And it was like I lifted this 5,000-pound weight off this little boy. But what happened was I had information from the other side that I did not know existed in my humanness. And it literally changed the course of someone that I loved so much. And so because of that, I was able to start realizing this is big and I need to find a way to do this. So being a human, I go to counseling then. Spirit leads me to a counselor because I'm like, you know, I don't know if I should be talking to dead people. There's something weird going on here. And I also didn't feel like I had a lot of control over it. It felt like it happened to me at that point in time. So of course, as spirit would have it, they lead me to the perfect counselor. And she says to me at some point, Michelle, what a gift. Think of all the people you could help with this. You need a mentor. So she helps me find a mentor. And then I mentor for quite a few years, probably 3 or 4 years. And then I practiced for a year on my own. And then I went into really using this to serve others.
Wow. What an amazing story. Michelle Claire, our special guest here on Guys, Guys Radio, 3-time near-death experience survivor, and now a certified psychic medium. So how does that experience relate to how you see the world now? Do you see how is life different for you in terms of what you see about humanity, what the planet's going through now, everything that's happening? How do you see that now versus how you might have seen life before?
It literally changes everything. Anyone who's had a near-death experience will say you can't come back the same person because you have such a higher awareness. One of the easier things that's happened for me is I've come back very non-judgmental. So before I might look at my sister or friend and say, oh my gosh, why does she always date the same type of guy? And now I'm able to really look at it and say, oh, I wonder what her soul wants to learn. So the perspective has shifted into something so much bigger than you're a good human, a nice human, a bad human, whatever these are, to really realizing that there is a plan at play, not just for our individual souls, but for also raising the level of the human consciousness on planet Earth. And so you're actually able to come back in a much more loving space, because even if somebody appears to be not the best person, they are every bit as much loved by source, the divine and heaven, as you and I are.
What do you think is happening on the planet right now? So many people say, oh, 2024, you know, all heaven's going to break loose. You never know, but something's going to happen. And we're going from 3D to 5D and people are waking up and it's going to get bad, but then it's going to turn out to be a really good thing. We hear this stuff. And in my opinion, and correct me, Michelle, you know, when we start to put things like that in our collective consciousness, it's like telling people, oh, you're old now, you're 70, you're old. People start to, you know, that self-talk starts to take place. And collectively, as a culture and society, when we put the same information out there and people continue to consume it, we almost make things happen. What's going on right now? And what do you think is happening? And what can we do about it to make it a good thing instead of a chaotic thing?
Absolutely. And I agree with everything that you just said. You've got to think about which energy do you want to feed. You are either feeding the negative energy or you are feeding the positive energy. And so, yes, I do think there are shifts and changes on planet Earth. We are moving into a higher consciousness thing. Growing pains, people have growing pains. Even when you're young, your legs hurt at night or whatever this is. Mm-hmm. So there are going to be some growing pains. But I always believe that the light and the higher powers are always going to prevail. And I will tell you why. We have over 8 billion humans on this planet right now. And each human has their own spirit team, which has angels and life guides and loved ones and light beings that are holding the space for humanity to actually come together as one race of humans, not as anything else. And so that's really the direction that I feel like we're moving into. The other thing that I would say is, the best thing every individual can do, because a lot of times people feel powerless. They're like, "What? I can't stop the war. I can't do this." Absolutely. You probably can't go over and stop the war. But here is what you can do. The minute you start anchoring in your light to this planet and sharing it with others, it creates a massive energetic ripple effect. And that is how we will change humanity and the earth, literally one life at a time.
Amazing. And a great message for humanity. Thank you for that, Michelle. Let's talk about, I just want to go back to those three folks who showed up in your third near-death experience for a moment. So you see three people, an Egyptian, an Asian, and a Hawaiian. Were they your soul family? Or did you think back, like, who are these people?
I did. So it took me probably about 6 months to figure out that these people were my life guides. Okay. And that was also a word I didn't have in my vocabulary, but that's really what they were, which makes sense. When they came in for the life or death decision, they were my life guides.
And they seemed familiar to you, like you knew them, but you don't remember seeing them in this particular time, this go around, if you will.
Correct. I didn't remember them, but I felt like I'd known them my whole life, which obviously I'd known them pre-life even.
In different incarnations. So do you then believe in there is reincarnation and our souls get recycled? And if so, what is the purpose of that? Do we come back to learn lessons that we fix things that we need to fix and learn lessons better than what we experienced before? And do we have to keep doing things over and over again until we get them right? What is it all? How does that all work?
Yeah, so I do believe in reincarnation, but I don't believe any soul is ever forced to come back. What I think about when I'm thinking about reincarnation, imagine your favorite vacation spot. Now put yourself there for 2 years. After 2 years, you're probably going to be like, is there another town around here? Is there another beach? It's great, but I'd like to go see something else. This is that heavenly realm. So yes, we are up in this oneness where there's not the contrast that we have here on earth. So it's hard to learn some of the lessons in that heavenly realm, because we don't know what it's like to feel anger or not love someone in that realm. So we decide to come to planet Earth to have these experiences so that our soul can learn and understand it. Now, we are never forced here. And actually, I always think of reincarnation as, so I like to use this picture behind me. I don't know if you can see it.
I see it.
But it's like a sun or a ray of light. So each lifetime is one more ray of light coming out of your sun, which would be your soul. So this version of Robert and this version of Michelle will exist throughout eternity. If you and I decide to come back in tomorrow in a different lifetime, we will create a new ray of light. But when I'm reading for clients, a lot of times, especially with parents, their fear is, what if my child comes back in and is with an abusive family halfway around the world? So their child might try to come back in or might come back in, but it's not going to be the same ray of light that they held and loved. That ray of light will exist throughout eternity.
So you could come, can you come back then in the past as well as come back in the future and also come back someplace else, like off planet, another universe, whatever? And because a lot of people think that, oh, they die, then they come right back here. And then from what I've learned from speaking to people with your gift is that it's not that everybody immediately comes back here right away. It's more rare than it is frequent, and that you don't have to come back all the time, and you could go to other places or not go anywhere.
Absolutely. And there are other planets, other dimensions, other places that souls tend to reincarnate to before they would come back to planet Earth. Because really, every human that's here right now does deserve a badge of courage for being here. So I just want to say this. This is probably one of the toughest dimensions to be in. Mm-hmm. But with that being said, our soul will say, hey, I'm going to go to that ocean dimension for 500 years, or I'm going to go to, you know, this planet or that. So we always have opportunities to live and grow. And our soul very often is in more than one dimension at a time anyway. So this part of you and I that are here on planet Earth having this conversation, We also have other timelines that are existing right now and other incarnations that are existing right now.
Let's pursue that for a moment, Michelle. Some people say that with humanity's ascension that's happening now and will continue with a kind of the great awakening, that some people are not going to want to go along with it. They like things the way they are, things the way they were, and they may just leave the planet, if you will, or just have to experience what may be unpleasant, versus other people that may say, I want to go along with this. I want to raise my vibration. I want to see what I want. I want to be there for the better world. What are your thoughts on that? I know I helped me out in terms of how I articulated that, but my understanding is there could be a split in timelines, and some people, even friends, may, you know, they like it the way it is. It's like politics. Not everybody agrees. And other people say, I want it. I want the new world. I want the better world. And they'll get their choice there.
Absolutely. I can see that happening, but not necessarily because I see like a split in the world or us being separated in that way. I'm seeing it more as vibrational frequency, like attracts like. So the people who want to ascend and open up their minds and bring in higher consciousness really will gravitate, will move up. But I do believe there's a really good chance we're all still going to coexist on planet Earth. It will literally almost more be like, who are you seeing? Who's in your life? Who are you passing in the street? Vibrational frequency like that. And let's also look at it from a soul level. The souls that are here that are saying, nope, I want it the way that it was. I'm not going to upgrade. I'm not going to do that work. That is actually also okay, because that was a soul plan before they came into planet Earth. And maybe they chose that life for a specific, well, for sure they chose that for a specific reason, but also it might be the wake-up call for someone else, allowing another soul to wake up, because we're looking at them saying, oh, this is so old-fashioned, or this is so stuck, you can't stay there, but it will help propel us forward.
Mm-hmm. Michelle, what happens when people die?
Yeah. Well, it's also a very individual experience. So there will be some people that say they see a tunnel of light. There will be, this is what I know from my experiences. Every single soul is met with love and compassion, no matter how you get there, whether it's suicide, a car accident, so you're murdered, whatever this is, you get to this realm with love and compassion. And because of that, it is going to kind of match what you're expecting. So let's say you're expecting Jesus to meet you. You'll find Jesus. Let's say you're expecting mountains or oceans. However, once we get into that realm, we are still connected to our loved ones here on Earth, and we do continue to evolve. So we're not really just sitting at the foot of God singing hymns for the next eternity. We will say our souls want to learn. So our souls want to try this. We have learning available or education available in that heavenly realm too. You don't always have to incarnate to do that.
So you can go up there and say, I want to play golf all the time at the most beautiful courses in the universe. And you can experience that.
Absolutely.
I'm sure some of my friends, and I have one who passed over, would love that. And I hope he's playing right now. So yeah. let's talk about, how do you work with people, Michelle? When people come to see you, what can they expect, and how do you work?
Yeah, so I connect with angels, loved ones, and spirit, life guides, psychic information, and medical intuition. So really, when someone comes to me, I like to say, think of this as a radio or a frequency. If you tell me we're going to channel 111, that's your angel channel. Let's see what they have for you today. So we can kind of guide and direct it to get the information that they want. Usually, if they have like the hour reading with me, almost all of this will come through, because we have time for all of it. And I really find that to be very important, because so often as humans, we feel like we are living this life alone. Right? We feel like we're lucky if we have one good friend. But the moment that we start realizing that we have a spirit team who is supporting us on this journey, our angels, our life guides, our loved ones, source, the divine, whatever your word is for God, suddenly you realize that you are not a helpless human. You are a powerful soul who is like honored for being here and supported in being here. And when you start to realize that, then you really can start to co-create your life.
People, you know, people are people, and we only have so many abilities, and we do have the potential to do anything, to have psychic gifts and to enhance them, etc. But it's so tough for people, because just, you know, making their way through every day and paying their bills and just existing is very challenging. What would be your advice to people out there that they want to have a stronger connection with spirit, and they want to be able to work with their guides to live the best lives that they can? And really, when they do that, they will be making humanity and making the planet Earth a better place.
Yeah. So, I mean, there are two things. Number one, find those moments in your day where you get your ahas. For some people, it's meditation. For some people, it's in the shower. Some people driving the car. Whatever those moments are, expand that, because that is your soul naturally connecting back to source or to your team when that information is flowing. The other thing is, let's start thinking about our intention and our perspective. Those are two extremely powerful tools. If you set the intention, today I'm going to feel more connected to my angels, or today I'm going to feel more connected to grandpa, and you are now creating this neural pathway, this frequency that brings it in more strongly. So you will feel that loved one around you. Your day might flow a little bit more smoothly. So we're already creating that. And then with our perspective, that's another huge tool. And we talk about this all the time. I'm sure you've heard this, right? That shifts everything. Okay, I have the flat tire on my car. It ruined my whole day. Or, hey, maybe it saved me from something bigger. Maybe this is the universe telling me to slow down. So when we use these few tools, which is really, what is it? It's our awareness. It's our consciousness. Those start to shift, not just our hour, our day, our week, but they shift your life when they are done with consistency. And as far as connecting to your angels, your loved ones, your life guides, we all, it's not a gift for a select few. Everyone has this ability. It is connected to your soul, because that is our natural communication device to the higher realms. And so it's almost like a muscle. And the more you work it out, the more you use it, the stronger it will get. Amazing. A lot of times people are making these connections and they're not realizing it. They'll say, I just felt it, or it was a gut feeling. So we're using our intuition, which is already a connection to source. It's coming out of it's not from our human mind, right? So start trusting your intuition more. That also strengthens your connection.
It sounds like God is speaking to us all the time. It's just, we need to kind of tune our frequency to be aware of that and to welcome that and be open to it. A lot of times, though, as you know, people, you know, they hear the chatter and they're like, am I just talking to myself, or am I getting a message here? And I always say, and from what I've heard, is if it's positive, if it's encouragement, if it feels loving, then it's spirit. And if it's not, it's probably not for you.
I agree with that. And I would add one more thing to that. Sometimes, okay, like if we're driving down the street and we're thinking, oh, I've got to get to the grocery store. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, I've got to call my friend. Like it just comes in out of nowhere. That is also usually a spirit driven message, because it's not on the same track that our mind was on. Mm-hmm. And so I would say follow those messages. Yes. And God, source, the divine, your team is not going to whisper anything to you except love and light and encouragement. And so if you're hearing a negative thought, that's probably your mind. That is not really source. And with that being said, you are absolutely correct. God is talking to each of us all the time, mm-hmm. but it comes in whispers, it comes in feelings, it comes in knowings.
And it could be nature, the breeze, the happiness you get when you feel the sun on your face, or whatever it is. There's a lot of different ways that God speaks with us. So, Michelle Claire, you have offered me the gift of being able to give a demonstration of how you work by a kind of a little mini reading of your guy's guy, Robert Manny, here on Guys Guys Radio. So I'm open for it. If you're open for it, if you need to take a moment to set yourself for that, let's do it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, as soon as you mentioned your friend, I felt your friend come in. So I need to acknowledge him being here, because also he is really like, so I want to tell you, he feels like the class clown type energy. So he's very fun. He's very easygoing. And he's wanting me to use the words, he was a lover of life. So not only does he love the human life, he is still a lover of life in the other realm. Now with him, he's showing me that he does mess with your electricity to let you know that he's around. And he's also showing me words. So I'm going to say these are things like license plates. You're driving down the street, you see a truck that has a funny saying on it that would really come from him. But he is really giving me like this, I kind of want to give you like a fun elbow, like, hey, I'm right here. So that energy about being around you. The other thing he's telling me is he's your number one fan. So I want to connect with him being your number one fan. Really energy of brothers too. So he's acknowledging that. And I believe that you two have had past lives together, because he's showing me the number three. So if it's not in the connection to three other lifetimes, it would be some connection to the month of March or the third of a month that I want to acknowledge from him.
You know, it's interesting that mentioning this person, he just came up when we were having our conversation, because when he passed, I remember that day, I reached out to him and physically put my hand up and I felt his hand touch me. And that was it. And after that, I've never felt a connection with him, even though we were very close. I felt like he just went off and I figured, go do your thing. And he never stepped forward when I've had other readings. And I'm like, that's okay. I thank him for the time we spent together. And I did think we had other lives together. So I find it fascinating that he would show up. And that was his personality that you just described now.
Yeah. And so please just know that he is around you so much. The other thing that he's giving me, and this is more of a psychic thing, two thumbs up for your future. So what, keep doing what you're doing. I feel like it continues to spread and grow in bigger ways than you can even imagine, is what he's wanting me to say. So also with that too, I need to tap into your angels for a minute, because I just want you to know that their love and guidance is around you all of the time. So don't forget to talk to them, because they are supportive. They're showing me too. And I don't know if this is what you're feeling right now. Like, I feel like I'm climbing stairs. Like, one step leads to the next step, to the next step, right?
Yeah.
You're not that far away from the top though, but they're saying this in an encouraging way where it's like, okay, just keep going. You're almost there. We're not looking at 10 more stories of stairs. We're looking at a few more stairs. Yeah, we're looking at a few more stairs. Also, too, they're bringing in the year. I'm going to tell you 2026. So I think it's something big's going to happen in a positive way for you that year. I don't know what that looks like, but 2026 has, you know, they like after a baseball game, how they would set off fireworks when someone gets a home run. That's the energy that they're giving me for you for 2026.
Amazing. How about anybody else family-wise who has passed over?
So mom's already transitioned, correct?
Yes, recently.
Yeah, because that's the first female energy that I feel. And when I feel them come in above me, it's like mom and dad, friends, peers, below me would be children. But mom just comes in. So mom comes in, she gives me the number one around you. So I don't know if you're her first, oldest, only boy, if you are the one that's closest to her, but that's usually what the number one signifies for me. There also could be a connection to the month of January, but because she's showing me the number ones, be aware of seeing 11, 11, 111. These are going to be connections with your mom when you're seeing this. So she tells me she had a decline. So she didn't just go unexpectedly. I'm feeling like a transitional phase. Right. And she's just making me feel very challenged and exhausted with it. Now, this is not how she's feeling in spirit world. She's just describing to me what it looked like, where it's just like this. And she's saying she was very, very frustrated because she wasn't able to do the things that she loved. So your mom has a beautiful caretaking energy about her, where I feel like she really was everyone's best friend, wanted to help people, wanted to take care of them. And she's using the term for me like identity. When she felt like she couldn't take care and show up in that way anymore, she started to feel like she was having a little bit of an identity crisis, or she kind of throws her hands up in the air like, oh, what good am I now? Because that was part of who she really was in her human form. Now, with your mom, easy sign for you is going to be butterflies whenever you see butterflies. But she's also showing me a peacock. So I doubt you're probably going to see a peacock in your front yard, but if she could pull that off, you better send me a picture of that. But the other thing is, when you see peacocks, whatever, on TV, on Instagram, on wherever you see them, please see them as a connection with your mom, because what she's showing me specifically is the tail feathers. And it's really like for you also symbolic of you being able to see in other dimensions, no more, like you're so beyond the 3D earth. And that's really one of the signs that she's going to send you of love and support, but also a reminder of who you really are.
You know, it's amazing that you just absolutely nailed it and what she went through. She had Alzheimer's. She was a caregiver. When she couldn't do what she was there to do, she was like the sun for the family. I mean, this, you know, like the bright sun,
yes,
where everybody kind of revolved around her in the family. And if she couldn't help out, she wouldn't feel, you know, that she had the value. I did feel, though, that when she passed, when she crossed over, that she understood that she didn't understand me, really, what I was all about. Did you get any of that?
Yeah, because I think that's what the peacock is symbolizing, because now she's seeing you as you have this whole, all of these eyes, right? Like the peacock feathers, how they look like eyes on there. Mm-hmm. And so your mom is now really able to see that you have such a greater vision than she was able to comprehend. And so that's one of her ways, not just of sending you the peacock to remind you of who you are, but it's almost like, her validating who you are is what she wants me to say. She gave me that word validating very strong. She is now wanting to validate who you are and your perspective in this world and the shift and the beauty that it is bringing in.
And I welcome, is there a way, and for people out there listening and watching, I want to welcome my mom and my dad to be with me and to be part of my life from where they are now. I want them to know that they're welcome to do that. Can we do that? I mean, is that possible? Can they be part of our lives when they've passed over?
Absolutely. I tell people this all the time. The relationship and the connection continues on. They might not still be in their physical body, but our relationship, our love, our connection, it continues on. And I would say that your parents are very much a part of your life. We can always say, hey, I need to feel you more, or give me a sign. We can ask for more from them. Mm-hmm. But because of this quantum entanglement and this love that we share with our family, they're always going to be around us as we move through this lifetime.
Beautiful. So great work. Michelle Claire, my special guest on Guys Guys Radio, incredible mediumship work that you've done, incredible experiences you've had, and you're incredibly articulate also and so full of information that I want to support you as you spread your work and the great things you're doing everywhere. So tell everybody where they can find out more about you, where they can book a session, what events you have coming up. And I know you're going to be on George Norrie's Beyond Belief coming up in April.
Absolutely. So the easiest way to find me is through my website, MichelleClare.net. You can book sessions there. You can see my upcoming events. You can find out more about me. And I have really enjoyed this opportunity to share this time with you, Robert. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you. I hope we can do it again. And God bless and keep doing what you're doing.
Oh, thank you. I hope you have a beautiful day.
Thanks.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
It's Guys Guy Radio.
Okay, what a provocative conversation and a very generous, loving reading from Michelle Claire here on Guys Guys Radio. So I got a little bit of a taste, and hopefully you got a little bit of a taste in terms of how Michelle works. I had no idea what she was going to say. She was very accurate in describing my mom. Of course, there's a lot of moms who are that way, but I got the vibe that it was for real. And I think Michelle, by virtue of who she is and her three near-death experiences in an 11-year period, had a profound change in her life and gave her the ability to do the work that she's doing. So I thank her for her generosity of spirit by sharing that mini reading and for coming on to Guys Guys Radio. If you want to check her out, it's Michelle Claire, CLARE.net. I've got a lot more great guests coming up this year. We're going to have a lot of fun. Thank you for your support. I want to thank all the wonderful 700 plus people, thought leaders, guests I've had conversations with over the last few years. I want to thank my wonderful producer, Chris, who does all the shows. And I want to thank my strategy lead, Ryan. And most of all, I want to thank you, our wonderful audience that keeps growing with us on Guys Guys Radio. Support us online. Please share. You see my promotions online throughout the week. Share, like, whatever you can to help what we're doing. Because, you know, this isn't like an arguing show. This isn't a yelling show like there's so many. This isn't a political show. This is about bringing you information and having provocative conversations where we can really chop it up and learn about different things that maybe will help each other live our best lives. That's what we do on Guys Guys Radio. I'll see you next week. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.